A weak solidarity brekkie team listener when, as the excitement builds leading into this week's Accord Mark II, caring employers are fighting economy-destroying proposals from the evil unions like sector-wide bargaining, the right to strike, and worse, pay rises. With the poor caring employers pointing out that the biggest barrier to workers getting a pay rise is a pay rise. Clearly and obviously, if workers want a pay rise, the last thing they need is a pay rise. Our old mate Innes will cost the workers of the True Blue Aussie Industry Profits Group spoke for the sundry caring employers and their good unions like the Chambers of Profits. Sector-wide bargaining would return us to the 1970s, they pointed out, back to the dark days before former Socialist Party big supremo nuclear hawk himself and the world's greatest worst ex-treasurer, Paul, reformed the economy to ensure workers did not receive a pay rise and the public purse picked up their caring employers' responsibilities, as it should. And evil unions became irrelevant. The glory days caring employers keep telling the Socialist Party it must relive. The only thing we'd agree to about the dark days of the 70s would be pay levels remaining at 70s pay levels. They joked, displaying caring employers' side-splitting sense of humour. Then again, it mightn't have been a joke, because relatively they are lower. No, it was a joke, a very, very funny joke, because we all know how concerned caring employers are about slow wages growth, how much sleep they lose worrying about it, and showing their greatest desire is lazy, avaricious workers should receive a pay rise, while knowing a pay rise is not the way to get a pay rise. Great supermarket calls for profit supremo Stephen Kane, the workers, said, "Only fixing the enterprise bargaining system and simplifying awards would achieve caring employers' greatest wish. See, what better way for checkout workers, for instance, to get huge wage increases and improved conditions than sitting down one-on-one with Stephen and negotiating on equal terms? With simplified rules like getting rid of the better off overall test, give boot the boot. Because Stephen and Innes and caring employers know that if workers are going to be better off, which is all the caring employers want, then they must be worse off. And Stephen's generosity also runs to the customers enjoying the fabulous inflationary prices on his shelves. As farmers tell us, they have been forced to cut their prices in order to flog their produce to cause the profits and Woolworths trillions, and we can be certain those cuts will be reflected in their prices, because ripping off their suppliers and their customers and their workers would be the last thing the great supermarkets would want to do. And then the unkindest cut of all. The Small Business Profits Organisation's True Blue Aussie came out and said they would consider sector-wide bargaining in return for simplified awards, leaving poor Innes and Stephen and the big caring big employers gasping for air. Oh yes, we can see Accord Mark II concluding with all caring employers and the evil unions marching arm in arm into the stock exchange, taking True Blue Aussie capitalism into a united future. The airline, which used to be our airline, Supremo Alan Joystick, apologised for long delays and massive inconvenience, blaming a chronic staff shortage as the big problem. Is that the thousands of workers you've sacked, Owen? Oh, sorry, sadly had to let go. Obviously not, because they're not there anymore. No, the sadly had to be let go were had to be let go for efficiency. So what's the current problem? Inefficiency. That's it. Now, it's also due to unrealistic expectations of customers who think they can just come to the airport and catch a plane. Nonetheless, generous Owen offered frequent flyers a few little benefits as compensation, which would have worked a treat, except within about a minute and a half, the line dedicated to the offer crashed, and the only frequent was the catastrophes befalling the airline that used to be our airline. The few little benefits were useless. With privatisation delivering such efficiency and social benefits, let's hope the government rethinks its declaration that it will not privatise the NBN network when the NBN network is ready to start making a neat little profit. Expressed on behalf of the efficient private sector this week by one of the private sector's journalistic lackeys in the True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review, who said the government must privatise the NBN when it starts making a neat little profit, and privatise True Blue Aussie Post and any other government asset turning over a neat little profit. Privatisation should not be a dirty word, he wrote. Selling public assets should be done to enable private sector innovation and efficiency, reduce government debt, introduce new tax-paying corporations, and maximise competition to benefit consumers through better services and cheaper prices. Well, the week that was has been saying that for years. We have loved the efficiency and cheaper prices of electricity, gas, airports, and Allan's airline that used to be our airline is a prime example of efficiency and cheaper fares and collecting billions in corporate welfare. And that important point, new tax-paying corporations. Although apart from providing lots more income for tax lawyers and tax accountants making sure they pay no tax, the tax they avoid would be a small percentage of their profits, which if the asset was still in the bloated, inefficient hands of the public sector would all go to the public purse. But that shows how silly I am, given the Capitalist Review capitalist lackey is an expert in these things, and who are we to disagree? And Alan Joystick is a prime example of the great benefits of privatisation, like our cheap, 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 efficient power bills. Oh dear, yet again we're in the satire can't compete department, like Lord Rupert of Wapping Sion Lachlan is suing Crikey over an article Lockie says defamed him, was not accurate reporting. Let's repeat that. Lachlan Murdoch is suing another media outlet for defamation for inaccurate reporting he claims over Lockie's role as supremo of that righter-than-right outlet Fox News, nothing but the facts news. But Lockie, you've argued that our defamation laws were too restrictive, that they limited your capacity to defame. You've always argued for freedom of speech in the media. And I still uphold those cherished democratic values. I uphold the right of News Very Limited to defame, to say what we like. But that doesn't give our upstart competition the right to say hurtful things about me. And thankfully, due to our lobbying, the defamation laws have been eased, so we can sue anyone who defames us. As if. Who would believe nothing but the facts news would whip up a right-wing neo-fascist mob? Poor Daddy, who's devoted his life to objective, balanced journalism, was so upset when he heard that. Interesting that, describing what appears in News Very Limited as journalism. Still, I reckon Lockie and Lord Rupert should sue former big supremo little Kemi Rod for the workers, who persists with his cruel call for a Her Most Gracious Majesty's commission into media concentration, just because Lord Rupert and Lockie concentrate on bringing us all the news we need to know and don't bring us all the news we don't need to know. Little Kemi dredging up thousands of signatures calling for the commission, showing how thousands of people can be brainwashed. Anathema to Lord Rupert and Lockie. And despite the socialist government again iterating it has no intention of inquiring into the Lord Rupert News Very Limited empire, showing there's obviously no need, particularly when Lord Rupert brings us the big news of the day, just like this Monday, when the front page and pages 2 and 3 in his Wapping Sin were ads for a pay TV show, and then P5, the first right-hand news page, the big, big story of the day. A picky of a young actor looking distressed telling us she is suffering from something or other happening on her social media. And goodness me, guess what pay TV show she just happens to be in? That was the biggest item in the world that day. So with such responsible and important journalism, what's little Kebby carrying on about? Same satire can't compete department, former whiteboard sports rod specialist Bridget McConnamsey, commenting on her former big supremo scuttle them more lash son, a.k.a. ScoMo, making himself minister for just everything, said we must ensure integrity in government. Okay, let's repeat that one. Former Minister for Sports Rights, Bridget McConnamsey, says we must ensure integrity in government. Satire can't compete. As usual, consistency was the big theme, with Deputy Caring Business Class Party Supremo Susan Lees and Dregs picking up the It Comes Back to Bite You Award of the Week, attacking the socialist decision to inquire into ScoMo's Ministry of Just Everything, pointing out sensibly that they are looking at the past, looking backward, and we must move forward. This is history. But Susan, when former Big Supremo Tiny A Bit More for the Bosses became Big Supremo, he held a Her Most Gracious Majesty's Royal Commission into pig bats and the Smash the Evil Unions Commission, including a term of reference investigating then Socialist Party Supremo Little Billy Shorten Ambition's actions when he was an evil union official 10 years earlier. Well, correction, an official in a non-evil union 10 years earlier. You can't compare them. That was essential to expose just how evil the evil unions and the Socialist Party are. There is no comparison. This is a socialist witch hunt. We would never stoop to a witch hunt. How dare you compare poor ScoMo with evil unions and evil socialists? Well, that put us in our place. As True Blue Aussie agrees to spend trillions on trained killer helicopters from the US of the UN of the US of the World Merchants of Death Industry, a US of trained killer department person said the purchase was vital to the US of national interest. And it won't hurt the interests of their merchants of death either, so money well spent. And it's not like there's other needs in True Blue Aussie's national interest, leading up to our finally Indigenous disadvantage, which I raise because an academic applied for a research grant and the body which approves these things rejected it with the question, what has Indigenous disadvantage got to do with the national interest? Huh? See, satire is just useless today. After the third attempt, by the way, the academic was told next time it would be rejected outright, leading us to, finally, I'm starting to panic about this Indigenous voice to Parliament, which I've learned is wrong in principle, wrong in principle. We'll have something approaching a veto, something approaching a veto. Leave government action more open to legal challenge, more open to legal challenge. Yes, a timely warning from the aforementioned Tiny A Bit More for the Bosses, supported by no less a champion of our first people, another former Big Supremo, Little Johnny Howhard. It would fuel division and have a coercive influence on the government. It really would. And cruelly, cruelly, listener, Big Supremo Anthony Albing Uzi countered with, with respect to Little Johnny, I don't think overwhelmingly, I would think of his government as a model of how to advance reconciliation. How disrespectful, when obviously, thanks to two eminent True Blue Aussies like Tiny and Little Johnny, we should all be afraid, very afraid of an invasion on white civilization, planting an Indigenous flag in Botany Bay and laying claim to our country. Good morning.